Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
Yes, he does.
He said, I'll see you through.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, there are times that we have to remember that God has his hands over any and all situations that we face in this world. Amen. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, September 22nd. I am your host, Sanctified and Set Apart, with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 3, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I'm joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening, Dr. House. And going your way?
Everything's going great. Another fine evening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's been a minute, man. We haven't had a chance to kick it, man. I tell you now, I'm a year older, doctor. God has been good to me, man. My birthday was just 2 days ago.
Man, yes, happy birthday.
Thanks, doctor. Thank you, man. I'm feeling good about it, man. And, you know, I can't ask for nothing better than that, doc.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. The number is 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. And if you call the show and you want to talk to myself and Brother Akin, just press the number 1 and you will be placed in queue. And at that appropriate time, you will be able to talk to Brother Akin and myself. Amen. And I look forward to talking to all of my family, my people. You are all my family. Amen. So I look forward to talking to you. If you have a word for us, if you just want to bless the name of the Lord, if you've got a question, this is your time. When you open up the phone lines, it's all your time and it's for you. Amen. I am happy. I am excited. I am full of joy. And it is my prayer that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. I say that because a lot of times, you know, I hear people say, I'm here for you, but when I need them, nobody's ever around. Well, I'm here to let you know that this preacher here tries to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk, amen? And so if you are in need, if you need a shoulder, if you need whatever you need from us, we are here to help. That's what this ministry is about, helping, being a blessing to one another, amen? And I know it's been a couple of weeks because we had an issue with the system last Sunday, amen, but I was praying for you all, and I tell you, you know, when I'm not on the show, amen, I don't feel right, but, you know, there are some times when things happen, and, you know, God may be saying, boy, you need a rest, but I'm grateful to be back with you all today, despite the fact of me not having my voice, amen, because I preached myself into a frenzy this morning at Fuse Memorial, shout out. But, amen, it was all worth it because, I tell you, somebody felt the spirit in there, amen, and that's all that really matters. So we're going to move on, amen, and I'm just so excited to be back with you on this Sunday. But I have a couple questions. You guys know that I have my form where people can write in and ask questions and they send me questions via inbox and text and so I like to get the questions in, and this way I have learned that a lot of people have questions about different things dealing with ministry down to the church. And so I try to answer them with the best of my ability, amen. And thus I have 3 questions here, and I'm going to try to answer them, amen. This first question is quite amazing, it's amazing, but scary at the same time, amen. It says, hey, Pastor D, I have a question that's been bugging me and I just didn't know how to ask it, so I'm going to just ask it the way that I know how. Is hell real? And if so, why would God send his creation there? Why would a loving God send his creation to hell? Well, if you look at it from a theologian's standpoint, hell was not meant for man. Hell was meant for Satan and his angels. It was not meant for us. It was meant for his angels, for those who stepped against away from God. Thus, when they stepped, those who stepped away from God, you know, those angels, that's where they were. That was their dwelling place. When sin came into existence in the hearts of man, then man also found their dwelling place. Those who were of a sinful nature, they found their dwelling places down there in hell as well. Thus, God does not want to send any of his creation to hell. It hurts God when his creation has to be placed in hell due to their wickedness and their unbelief and their lack of faith. Thus, God does not send us to hell. It is our own actions and our own belief system and our own way of thinking that sends us to hell. So I hope that answers your question. Hell is definitely real, and it is my job to teach you how not to go to hell. So what I would say to you is, if you have a fear of going to hell, then maybe you need to look at your life and examine yourself. Examine what you're doing. Examine how you're living. Examine how you're breathing. Examine your actions to your fellow man. Examine how you treat one another. Examine your faith and see if you are living the life that God would have you to live. If you find yourself doing all those things right and in order, then you should not have a concern about where you're going to end up. However, let me say this. Once saved is not always saved. It is a continuous journey to keep one's faith and one's mind stayed on Jesus, amen, which means you have to every day work at it to make sure that you are doing what God has called you to do. Amen. We can be saved one minute and find ourselves in the pit of hell the next minute due to our not examining ourselves and not having a repentant heart and spirit. You know, we have to repent and confess our sins to God and know that God is just to forgive us. So I say that to say, in the midst of everything that's going on, remember that hell is real. We can find ourselves in there if we don't do right. If we don't do right by God, if we don't live a life according to God's plan, and if we find ourselves on the outside looking in, then it's time to turn yourself back over to Christ and ask him and ask for forgiveness and see what you can do in order to keep your lives and to keep your soul away from hell. Amen. I hope that answers your question. But just to put it simple, yes, it is real, and God does not send us there. The second question is, hello, Pastor D. I enjoyed your episode on education and preparation. I myself am a preacher, and I believe that education is very important when it comes to the life of not only a preacher, but the lives of our young children as well. But I have a son who wants to go to college. He's a junior in high school now, but the financial part is so hard. Do you have any suggestions? Well, first, let me thank you for listening to that the episode we had on education and preparation. I do believe that education and preparation is important for not only a preacher, but it's also important for our young children, our young men and our young women. Even this morning, when I was when we were at church, and I had a group of young people come up who are in school and who are some of them are still in high school, and I challenged all of them to be better than me. I graduated my master's with a 3.9, and I challenged them to be better than me, to do something and get a 4.0. Get a 4.0. I challenged them. And the reason why I do that is because I know that they can take their life, they can sometimes take their freedom, but they cannot take their education. And I come from a denomination where education is driven. We are to be educated, and I believe that an educated preacher is an informed preacher, and they're able to do the work that God has called them to do. Thus, to answer your question, I did some research for you, and I know right now there's a big issue going on with the student loans, and we have a lot of the presidential candidates are talking about being able and wanting to wipe away the student loans. But let me also share this too. As I did some digging, some research into the school that I graduated from, GCU and Grand Canyon Theological Seminary, I was told by one of our enrollment counselors, Mike Pearson, actually, who I talked to, that GCU offers a out of high school program where a student can get college credits while in high school. And thus, by the time they finish high school and go into school, the time that they spend and the money that they spend is not as expensive as it would be if one was just out of school and wanting to go back to college. Thus, this program here offers the student a nice variety of classes that they can take while in high school, which will help them and gear them and motivate them to go into the field that they want to go in when they're done with high school and go right into college. So this program is a nice program that can benefit not only the parents from a financial standpoint, but also the students from an educational standpoint. And I will get more information on this program, and as I get more information, I will share it because I do believe it is important for our people, not only our Black people, but for all people to be educated. Amen. But I am so concerned about my people and making sure that my people have the education that's needed. Now, when I say my people, I mean my Christian people, all people. Amen. So that's one suggestion. The second suggestion I would say is, financial aid is always an option, but you do have to pay that money back. It is a sometimes you can end up in a hole when you finish school most times. But what you gain out of going to school is far better than what you have to pay back. And I believe that you know, if there's a will, there's a way. So if that's your son's goal to go to school, then help them to get there. And by helping them to get there, believe me, you will find that it will be such a blessing not only to you but to them as well. Because you know, if our children go to school and become educated and to become a great asset to our community, that makes our jobs even the more easier. Amen. So I will be in touch. I will continue to when I get more information from Mr. Pearson, I will be able to let you know. And I will put it on our show. This way, you know, it's an option for our children, and it's an option for anyone who seeks to go back to school. Amen. But thank you so much for listening to the episode. And I pray that the episode was enlightening to you, and that something that is said even today will be a blessing to you. Amen. My last and final question, and these questions here hit me very hard, and it hurts my heart when I hear them, but again, I don't turn questions away. And it says, Pastor D, I am tired of the church. How can I counteract this thought? I don't want to be a hindrance to anyone. There are many people that are tired of the church. But let me say this to you. Christ said that upon his rock, he would build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are a rock in the church. And I know who sent this. And preacher, let me tell you, God is not through with you yet. We can all sit back and have a pity party on how things are not right, things are not fair, they're unjust, you know. We could talk about all types of situations in the church. But be ye the change that you expect the church to have. Let the change start with you. Go into the church and do things differently. Find your niche in the church. And I'm not just talking to the preacher on this, I'm talking to everybody. If you find that you want to change in the church, be that change. Be the one that makes the change. Go that extra mile. Help someone. Bless your pastor by praying for him. Bless somebody in there by praying for him. You know, find somebody that needs help and be a help to them. Love on some folks. You may be the only one that's doing the loving, but guess what? That's okay. Because God will give you the strength to press forward. He will give you the strength to move forward. And I understand where you can say you're tired, but Christ had many days that he was tired. Many nights that he didn't sleep. Many days when he was irritated and frustrated and didn't want to be bothered. But guess what? He did it anyhow. Anyway. Because he knew that if he didn't do it, nobody else would. You can be tired. You can be tired. You got to counteract that thought with love. Because it's nothing but the enemy is trying to overtake you. It's nothing but the enemy that's trying to divide. It's nothing but the enemy that's trying to remove your anointing. I want to pray. Father God, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help do I know. Bless right now, Father God, your people. Bless right now, Father God, this network. Bless right now, Father God, those who are hurting, frustrated, tired, irritated, who feel lonely and forgotten. Touch right now, Father. Bless right now, Father, your people. Teach them, Father God, to continue to hold up the bloodstained banner. Father God, we need you to come down, Father, and to put blessings upon your people, Father. Place blessings, Father. Overflow your people, Father, with blessings. We need you now, Father, more than ever. Touch in a mighty way, Father. We thank you. We honor you, Father, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't you stop. And don't you dare give in. Keep pushing forward. Get back in the race. And let God have his way. Those are my questions for this week. I encourage you all to please send me your questions, and I will do my best to answer them. But right now, it's time for the word. Father God, it's me, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you, and I love you. In Jesus' name did I pray. Amen. Amen. I have been so blessed by the word that God has given me. And so I want to read a scripture to you out of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. And it reads, "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, the harp, and the lyre, and the psalteries, and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. For if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hands, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the image that you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar, full of anger and the expression of his face changed toward these three boys, he spoke and commanded that the heat of the fire of the furnace be heated seven more times than usual. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them up and to cast them into the fiery furnace. These men were bound, their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king commanded was urgent and the fire extremely hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. For our subject today, when the glory of God shows up, part two. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has always given me joy in the midst of whatever I was facing. Here we find in the Old Testament, about 600 years before the life of Christ, and after the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem, where men and women were taken captive and used as slaves, and there were four Jewish boys taken captive from the tribe of Judah. Daniel, whose name means God is my judge, his name was changed by the Babylonians to Belteshazzar, the treasures of Baal. Hananiah, which means the Lord is gracious, was renamed Shadrach, which means command of Aku, the moon god. Mishael which name means who like God, was renamed Meshach, which means who is what Aku. Azariah, which means the Lord helps, was renamed Abednego, which means the servant of Nego. The people were stripped of their heritage, taken away from their people, and made to serve their captives and placed under oppression, beaten and whipped, flogged, their identity stolen, their way of living denounced, and through it all was made to serve and was told to smile while doing so. Well, I find that the more things change, the more things stay the same. Getting back to the scripture, the king Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan king who served Baal, and he himself was born in the year 634 B.C. in Iraq, and he died in 562 B.C. in Iraq. He was considered aggressive at times and very ruthless and considered by many to be an enemy of Yahweh. He was one that ruled with an iron fist and no one dared to step out of line in his presence. However, I must say that God has a funny sense of humor. You see, I am persuaded that God has a way of elevating his people even in the midst of darkness, in the midst of turmoil, and even in the midst of your enemies, and more importantly, in the midst of some chaos, amen. In the midst of some chaos and some mess, God will always elevate those who call on him. This mess that I speak of continued to fester through the hands of this king. He had made a great statue in honor of his God and made a decree that everyone must bow down and worship this false idol. While all of Babylon did as they were instructed, these three Jewish boys decided to take a stand against the sin that encamped their territory. Though this sin was everywhere, it was not strong enough to break the wall of faith that they had in the Almighty God. Hebrews 11:6 states, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Thus these three boys declared that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be the only God that they would bow down to. Not only did they stand up to the devil, but because they would not be moved by the fear of death, the glory of God showed up and showed out. And because they would not bend to sin, the threat of being burned to death became a reality. As the furnace was made seven times hotter than the last, these three boys were held on to what they believed. I can hear them saying that, if you saved me before, surely you can do it again. God, if you opened up the door for me, surely you'll open up another door. God, when I did not have food, you blessed me with food anyhow. When I did not have the money to pay that bill, Father God, you sent some money from heaven, amen. Father God, when we did not have food when we left out of Egypt, you gave us manna from heaven and quails to eat and water out of a rock. Father God, you've always showed up and showed out for the people. And at this very moment, right now, when my life is at stake, I am asking you, Father God, to show up and to show out. Father God, right now, you see, I'm not going to bend down to this evil that's in my face. I'm not going to twist myself and fall down to this mess because I know, Father God, that I serve a God that's righteous. And you, Father God, would not want me to bend down to this sin and this wickedness. So, Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I'm going to stand firm on what I believe. I'm going to stand firm on who I am, and I'm going to stand firm on whose I am. Because no weapon formed against me. If you did it for me before, you will do it for me again. If you blessed me before, surely you will do it again. If you healed my body, surely you can do it again. You showed up on so many occasions. Well, now, Lord, the devil is trying to take my life. And if you are so gracious, please let your glory show up. Because if you did it before, surely I know you will do it again. You see, I want to use this quote, my favorite, and I even said it today, amen, Sir Isaac Newton. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In order for you to see the glory of God, you have to give him the praise at all times. No matter what the situation is, no matter what you're facing, no matter how many times you have fallen into sin, get back up, dust yourself off, and get back in the race. Philippians 4:13 tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Before the king had them thrown into the fire, their faith spoke for them. They said that even if God does not show up at this moment to save us, he is still God anyhow. In other words, Yahweh's resume is just too great for me not to trust. And though we may be in shackles and in chains, this oppression won't last forever, for the glory of God will soon fill this place. My God and his glory is about to show up and show out. And at the delight of the king, these three boys were thrown into the fire. But the king saw them walking around in the fire, not dead, not burning, but very much alive. And not only were they there, and he saw another walking with them. And it was at that moment, at that point, that the old king Nebuchadnezzar knew that the God that they served was strong and mighty. The greatest scripture that I can find to top this story comes out of Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified nor dismayed. For wherever you go, the Lord your God is with you." But I want you to know, do I have anyone here that has faced a situation where the odds were stacked up against you and the glory of God showed up and showed out? I'm going to go old school. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Do you know that if it wasn't for God being on your side, that you would not be here today? But as your pastor, please allow me to tell you. You see, I can see myself in the lives of one of these three Jewish boys. But I also remember when I used to be like old King Nebuchadnezzar, when I poked at God, when I made fun of God, when I said in my heart that there was no God. But one day, I saw the glory of God come in the form of Jesus the Christ, the man who died so that I might live, the one who stood me up, washed me up, wiped me down, and placed me on some solid ground. But I remember, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Because my Jesus saved me from the burning furnace. Because my Jesus saved me from the lion's mouth. Because my Jesus spared me from the pit of hell. I call myself his son. So I lived with him. I died with him. And on that day, I also rose with him. And one day, I shall reign with him. I have all the victory in Jesus. You see, when the glory of God shows up in your life, all hell begins to break loose. And yes, I said hell cannot hold down a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. When the glory of God shows up, the demons begin to shake in their boots. When the glory of God shows up, all yokes are broken, breakthroughs are released, burdens are lifted. The same glory that showed up for these three Jewish boys is the same glory that's waiting for you. But what say you? Are you ready for the glory of God to come in and to fill up your temple? Are you ready for the glory of God to come in and to change some things in your life? Are you ready for the glory of God to come in and to fix some things that you know that's not right? You see, God don't expect us to be perfect. God just expects for our faith to be perfect. Oh, let me say that again. Some of y'all didn't hear that. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects our faith to be whole and perfect. And there are times that we go through so much. There are times that we deal with so much. And our faith is tested. But I urge you to stay the course. I urge you to pick up your cross and follow him. I urge you and I challenge you to keep your mind focused on him at all times and in all places. Let the glory of God be your shining light, be your guiding light. You see, I know for sure that we're living in a post-Christendom society. Nobody wants to be bothered with the church. The beacon and the royal priesthood that the church once was has been snatched away by the works of the enemy. But I'm here to let you know that one day the glory of God is going to come in and shine a light down on this dark, disgusting world. And everybody will see the glory of the church rise from the ashes. They will rise from all this stuff that y'all are trying to throw at the church. You will find that the church will be the one thing that you're going to have to run to. You're going to have to run to her. And you're going to hug her. And you're going to say, how must I be saved? It's not too far off. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. Don't be one of the ones that miss the glory. Because I'm here to let you know that it is time that we have the same faith that these three Jewish boys had. And if it means our life, if it means our freedom, our life will be taken away because of what we believe, then take it away. Because no man can take what God has given me. God has given me that joy. And that's what these boys are trying to get this old king to understand, is that the joy that God has given them cannot be taken away. You see, I marvel at the works of God. I marvel at the teachings of Jesus. I marvel at the fact that when it was all said and done, God got the victory anyhow. That Jesus, through his works, showed his enemies that you can't touch what God is doing in his life. This is what the glory of God shows us. When the glory of God shows up in your life, nothing and nobody can touch you. When the glory of God shows up, When the glory of God fills this temple, you got to let God come in and clean up some stuff. God wants to mend some relationships, fix some problems. He wants to turn some frowns upside down. When the glory of God comes in and shows up, expect some healing to take place. The glory will change your outlook from a dimly lit to bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. John 8:36 sums it all up. It says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And whom the glory of God touches, that glory will last forever. I'm here to let you know right now that God wants to send his glory upon you. Are you like one of these boys that's being told that you cannot serve the God that you know is the God that brought you out? Are you one of these people right now that you find that you're under oppression and Jesus is calling your name? I urge you to step out. And if you had to step into that fiery furnace just to prove that Jesus is real in your life, then, my friends, you do what you have to do. But while you in that fiery furnace, you do some praising. You let the devil know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and that greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. Because Satan is trying to rob, steal, and kill us, but I release peace, love, and joy, and happiness in your life. I'm here to let you know right now that Satan, you have no strongholds this way. And you better understand that the glory of God is upon his people. Your minions have no place in the lives of God's people. You see, I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. You see, I used to be pimped by the enemy. Satan used to use me. And I never even knew it. I called those people the walking dead. Alive on the outside, but dead on the inside. And you don't even know that you're being used. But I urge you right now to step out of the darkness and into that glorious light. And let the Lord have his way in your life. And if you give, I urge you to give Jesus an opportunity to do what he can do. I urge you to give him an opportunity to see what he can do. And watch what he does in your life. Watch how he changes things in your life. Watch how he blesses your life. When the glory of God shows up. When the glory of God shows up, hell cannot deal with it. Hell cannot stand when God shows up. It's time that we get away from the hell and start experiencing some glory. It's time that we've dealt with enough hell. It's time for some peace, some relaxation, some joy, some love to go forth. It's time. God is calling you out of that fiery furnace and into his loving arms. God is calling you out of that fiery furnace into a right relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. God is calling you out of that fiery furnace and into a Holy Ghost-filled relationship. He's calling you out. He's calling you out. Will you allow the glory of God to show up in your life? Will you allow God to have his way? Amen. I always like to end my message with an opportunity for you to get into a right relationship with Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Now, Father, I ask that you would touch my heart, cleanse my heart, and renew my heart. I believe that you live, that you died, and that you rose again by the power of God. Be the Lord of my life. I am yours. You are mine. Accept me into your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you sincerely meant it within your heart, salvation now belongs to you. And if you died this very moment, then you would find yourself in the Holy of Holies. That's good news. Amen. Amen. And Brother Hakim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word on this evening?
We do have someone on. If they want to give a word, please press the number one. We'll be happy to patch you right through.
Amen. Amen. This is your time. Give a word. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. You know, this story always blesses my heart, Dr. Kendrick. It always reminds me that where we used to be, where we are, and can be, just allow God to have His way. And I'm just so grateful because I see myself in every one of those levels, Dr. Where I was Nebuchadnezzar, with no faith, calling on the works of the enemy. Where I became one of the Jewish boys who had to defend the same faith that I once fought against. And then being persecuted and thrown into the fire, not a physical fire, but on the spiritual fire. But at the end of the day, Dr., the glory of God came in and showed up. And I walked around that fire and I was not burned. And I came out and made my enemies my footstool. Because at that moment, those same enemies that doubted the power and the glory of God now saw what God could do if they just turned their lives on. And it just blesses my soul, man. It blesses my soul.
I definitely understand that.
Amen. Amen.
What was your first... When you first read that story, what was your first impression? Like, did you get it right away, or did it have to grow with you throughout time?
It was one of those things that made me shout, because when I first became a Christian, fully convinced, I was right at that moment place. Like I said, I was under a lot of persecution. So for me, whenever I read a story where God's people were under persecution, under fire, and how God showed up in his eyes, it just gave me more spiritual food to eat on and to feed on. So I was always searching out scriptures to find to keep myself shielded and to keep myself grounded. So it blessed my soul the first time I read it, and I had to reread it like 5 times to make sure that I was reading what touched my soul. So you know, after my interpretation, I had to go back and reread it a couple of times to make sure that my interpretation was right. How about you?
That's what's up. Yeah, I remember reading it. Because that was one of my grandfather's favorite stories, and he was big on Babylonian stuff, and he always tried to input a lot of information based off of the old Babylonian kings and stuff like that. But I didn't get it at the time. I just, oh, it's a great story, but I'm 10, 11 years old. But as I grew older and I, you know, and my knowledge expanded and I started looking into Nimrod and the other Babylonian guys, you know, stuff like that, and the lore and the history, I got a better appreciation for what he was trying to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, it's, and so when I heard you speaking, I said, wow, if granddad can hear that now.
Oh, yes, man. Yes, and it's a true blessing, Doc, because you know when you really think about it, when you really think about it, you know it's something that God, you know how God works. He has a funny sense of humor, Doc. How he can use one thing and make that one thing, and make that one person who thought that they were over everything, show them that they were just a little peon in his whole mix. You know, and how everybody feared this man, this king, but God shows it right there that you don't have the power that I have. And I got the power to make things happen and to throw these boys into this furnace. And at the end of the day, they still come out and unsensed, not even a smell of a burning upon them. It boggles my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It truly boggles my mind. I tell you, I'm just so thankful and so grateful, Doc. Cause boy,
yes, sir.
Mm-mm.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Do we have any? For those who are listening, I was just about to announce. If you guys are listening, please press the number one. We'll put you right through. We have about 2 minutes and 40 seconds of the show. There's your time.
Amen.
Maybe you want to say a prayer for someone.
Amen. That's right. I want to definitely lift up the Plump family and the loss of their brother and son. Amen. Who will be having this homegoing celebration this weekend. Amen. I want to pray for that family, Father God, that you would bless the Plump family, Father, and the loss of their brother and son, Father. You would touch their mother, Father, and Father. Sister Annie, Brother Leon, Father, that you would bless right now, Father. That you would continue to show them the grace and the mercy, that you would wipe the tears from their eyes, Father. We ask tonight that, Father, that you would grant them a spirit of peace that will go forth, Father. That you would be their comforter right now. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
All right, we have someone. Someone Amen. Just hit the number one. Okay.
All right. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair. Hello, hello.
Reverend Townsend.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I want to let the listening audience know that today is your birthday.
thank you.
And the Lord will be blessing you for many, 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 many more that will be coming.
Amen.
I love you, my son.
Thank you, and I love you as well.
Okay.
All right, be blessed.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, brother. Hey, man. All right, well, as we are just under a minute, before we close, I want to encourage you all to be blessed this week. Hold on to your bloodstained banner and hide behind that cross. And let Jesus be your guide in life. On behalf of your brother Hakim Mubla, I am Pastor D. Townsend. And you have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off tonight, and God bless.